I'm Callie Crossley, sitting in for Michelle Martin. Coming up, we hear your thoughts about fatherhood and neighborhood diversity. Backtalk is next. But first, it's time for our weekly shape-up at the barbershop, where the guys get to dish about the news and what's on their minds. Sitting in the chairs this week for a cut are opinion writer and blogger Jimmy Israel, political science professor Lester Spence, editor Arsalan Iftikhar, and Ruben Navarrete, a syndicated columnist. This week, I hear the guys want to talk about shock jock Don Imus. Is he making a comeback? And after all the courtroom drama, then what? The football future of Michael Vick. And it's the 30th anniversary of Elvis's death. Who's not going to Graceland? Plus, R. Kelly is back to singing about that closet. I may jump in once or twice, but for now, take it away, Jimmy.
Hey, thanks so much. Yo, yo, fellas, welcome to the shop. What's up?
What's happening, Jim?
Hey, man, it's going.
Hey, yo, let's get the ball rolling, looking at the world of sports. Now, the other three defendants in the Michael Vick dogfighting case have all taken deals. Now, as he works to settle his legal issues, what should he do about his career? Arsalan, what would you suggest for Vick's career rehab?
Well, first of all, I can bet a barrel of candy corn that Michael Vick will never see the inside of a jail cell.
I want that bet. I really
don't think he'll end up. You know, there have been some reports on the wires that he's agreed to a plea deal, which would send him to jail for a year. But I think that they'll find some way to find some sort of loophole out of it. After all, he is Michael Vick. He's, you know, one of the highest paid players in the NFL. He's on the cover of video games. He's not going anywhere.
Yeah, but Michael Vick is not man's best friend. Dogs are. When you start messing around with dogs, people lose their minds. Ruben, you're Vick's PR person. What's your plan?
Serious rehabilitation, right? I mean, he needs to fix this. He's got his legal problems, but then he has his image problems. He can probably handle this in the legal arena, you know, but I don't think that the image is going to be so easy to repair because of what you talked about before.
I think he should join the Boy Scouts. Lester, Doc, call it for me, yo.
I think you should get on the cover of Cat Fancy. In fact, I remember seeing a commercial or something. One of his teammates, the running back, used to play for Tampa Bay with
right.
the cover of Cat Fancy. That's what I was guessing. but really, what it is that I mean, put it this way: if we can basically have forgotten that Kobe Bryant
right.
up for rape. For sexual assault.
Okay.
No, it's a right. valid point.
If he has a good season, people forget. People forget really, really quickly. We won't even remember, say, a year and a half from now.
Like I said, man, you know, this is man's best friend. And here's what I think. Yo, he should do his time and fade into obscurity. That's where he's headed, as far as I'm concerned. Let's switch gears now. Switching subject. He's back. Don Imus has settled with CBS with some tidy multi-million-dollar sum now. And he might be returning to the airwaves. But after all the hand-holding and kumbaya, Kia Vaughn, one of the Rutgers players, decides to sue Imus, CBS, and a host of others for defamation of character. Now, Lester, is this a net loss for the National Association of Black Journalists, Al Sharpton, and all the other Imus protesters?
That's a pretty funny question. I don't think anyone would have expected that Imus's exodus would have been permanent. I think what's going to be the interesting thing to see is how Vaughn's lawsuit is actually taken. Because I remember when I read the story, I mean, can you imagine the energy that having to deal with all that stuff takes out of you? So you just
come on,
a basketball
Lester.
Player to all of a sudden.
Oh, we have to have some strength of character. You know, you can't just get all bent out of shape just because somebody calls you a name. Now, given, here's my thing about Imus. Arsalan, now, in the culture criticism business, the disc should be the size or smaller of the target. What good can come out of a lawsuit? You know, doesn't that diminish the core idea that they were harmed when you attach a monetary amount to
right.
it? Doesn't that damage the moral piece of it? Help me out here.
A little bit. And also under defamation law, we have to understand that people can sue for false statements of fact that are made. Not statements of opinion. So in my, I mean, right. in my legal opinion, this case mm-hmm. is going to get dropped because in terms of, you know, whether there's any sort of racial epithet or, you know, derogatory comment made, that's a matter of ignorant opinion.
Right.
You know, had he said that, for example, Arsalan is a terrorist, you know, that is a right. statement of fact that can be proven true or false. And
well, man. All right. I like that in you. You're the gulliest cat in the room.
That's how we roll, man.
Well, what about the damage done to her self-esteem and to who she was as a young woman and now what she represents, actually?
No, I check on what C-Double's trying to say about her. The strike to the ego and all that kind of stuff. But, you know, is it okay to put a dollar amount on that?
I think it gets dropped, too. I think it gets dropped because it was a general statement about a group of people.
Right.
And for her to take it as specific to her and to say that specifically her reputation was damaged as an individual because he singled her out by name and said this about her, I think that's,
right.
that's going to be a stretch. I don't think he's paid enough of a price. And, mm-hmm. I mean, the bigger question here is sort of, what have we learned from all this? Because we've gone through
right.
this whole gut-wrenching exercise, and at the end of it all, this guy comes out, you know, smelling like a rose, doing as good as he was before, and
right.
I just don't think he's learned his lesson.
Let me remind people, if you're just joining us, we're here with Jimmy Israel, Ruben Navarrete, Lester Spence, and Arsalan Iftikhar. They're our guys in the barbershop. Back to you, Jimmy.
Well, moving on. Now, wait a second. Your boy R. Kelly's all set to... yeah, that's what I said. Oh. That's what I said. R. Kelly is set to release 10 more chapters of his Trapped in the Closet series on the Independent Film Channel as he heads to trial on September 17th for allegedly dealing in cinema of another type, child pornography. Now, Ruben, I've seen the first 12 chapters, and it's funny, but I don't get the crossover appeal. But wait a second. Yo, somebody drop a clip for me.
He pulls back the shower curtain while she's biting her nails. Then he walks back to the room. Right now I'm sweating like hell. Checks under the bed. Then opens the dresser. He looks at the closet. I pull out my Beretta. He walks up to the closet. Get closer to the closet. Now he's at the closet. Damn, he's open in the closet. All right, okay, all right, yo, Ruben,
the R, help me out, bro. What's the crossover appeal, bro?
I don't get it. I'm still stuck on the midgets thing with R. Kelly. I'm not sure. I'm feeling old. I can't be this old. I mean, I don't see it. I don't see the appeal.
Okay, Lester, help me out. What's the crossover appeal, bro?
What he's done is he's effectively mixed a couple of different forms, right? So your regular
right.
R&B cut combined with some opera, and then in fact, layering on top of it some old school, some Flash Gordon type stuff, you know, where at the end
What Flash Gordon was you watching?
Well, you know, where he's ramping up, you know, every time you got at the end of every bit.
Oh, you're talking about, right, serial TV kind
yeah,
of thing.
Yeah,
yeah.
That's
hey, Jimmy.
That's it. I don't see how the hell he could have stretched another 10 episodes out of it. So I'm not going to watch it because I don't have
right.
I'm preparing for class. I don't have that type of time.
right,
but,
right, right.
I mean, he will have further proved himself to be the evil genius of our time if he can pull this off.
A-Train, bust it.
Well, you know, I'm from Chicago, and for years, native Chicagoans have been having the debate as to who is the native son, R. Kelly or Common Sense. And you know what? Common won. R. Kelly has lost his mind, and really, I mean, this is nothing but his celebrity narcissism coming into play. Anybody who has the audacity to, mm-hmm. you know, make a video of some peeing on someone and then come back and try to make a closet should get locked in that closet and that should have the key lost forever.
Well, with that
right, they're
saying
this is about infidelity, violence, and violent infidelity. That's like touching all the bases, right?
Yeah, pretty much.
I mean, well here's me, and I'm kind of ashamed to say it, but guess what? I'm a fan of Trapped in the Closet. I've seen it. I think the writing is good. And yeah. I'm going to buy the DVD for sure.
I cannot believe that you are interested in this Trapped in the Closet stuff. But I need to bring you back to my homeboy, Elvis Presley. I'm
Go
from
ahead,
Memphis.
C-Double.
And I just need to know, you know, are you guys going to Graceland to celebrate the 30th anniversary of his death?
No.
Arsalan, A-Train, kick it?
The whole Elvis Presley, Jim Morrison phenomenon where people, you mm-hmm. know, travel halfway around the world to go visit the graves is something I think that has just become a little more passé as the millennium evolves. I think it was more acceptable back in the 70s and 80s, and I think it's just sort of carried over as a tradition, but I think that we're going to see dwindling numbers of people going to Graceland.
Well, where do people of color go for pilgrimages to the great musical folks?
I go to the corner bar. I'm not going to Graceland. I'm going to kick it with my boys. I'm gonna have some change to put in the jukebox, And Elvis isn't in the jukebox in my bar. I don't know about your bar, L. Spence, but in my bar, he's not there.
Yeah, we experience music in a very different way. So I remember Marvin Gaye died, and I remember I have family in L.A. I think at least some of them went to his funeral. But black people don't respond to Marvin Gaye's death that way. You know, black people, younger black people don't respond to Tupac or Biggie that way. We just have a different, you know, we don't have no music. Jesus.
Right.
That's really what it is. They've done an excellent job making Elvis something akin to Jesus. And for black people, just Jesus is Jesus.
Right. Ruben, R. You know. Yo, what's going on in the Latino community? Does Elvis catch that kind of love?
I think the Elvis thing actually sort of goes into all communities. I mean, I've been to Graceland. I'm not going to Graceland for this thing, but I've been there.
You've been to Graceland, bro?
I have. And it's a big thing, and people go there, and they're expecting, like, I don't know, 70,000 people just in the next couple of days or so. And
right.
I don't think I understand it, but I definitely acknowledge it because I think it's real. And I think there was something about Elvis and what he represented that just sort of transcends the time, transcends the color line, transcends over generations.
Well, wait a second, R. Wait a second. Are you a fan of the Blue Hawaii Elvis or the fat, bloated, in the ghetto Elvis? Which Elvis are you a fan of?
Thank you very much.
I'd say the Suspicious Mind Elvis, somewhere in between the two. And
yeah.
Those are some classic songs. He has become something in death that he never was in life, and everybody knows that. He died relatively poor, but, you know.
Profitable. Yeah, that's what he became in death, that he wasn't in life.
He became bigger and bigger in death in one weird way.
Well, you know, Elvis was just a white guy who sang like a black guy.
This from the guy from Obama Girl. Come on, give me that.
Good call, Ruben.
I can't.
He called
I can't
you
believe
out,
people
dog.
Debase themselves that way. Where's my computer on Obama Girl? You know.
Well, I'm just saying. Here's my opinion. You know, he wasn't that remarkable by any account. Will Justin Timberlake be as revered? Personally, I doubt it. You know, and I want to thank you all very much because I think we're getting ready to cut out. I want to kick it right over to our host sitting in for Eminem, C-Double.
Thank you so much, Jimmy. Jimmy Israel joined us from WUKY in Lexington, Kentucky. He is an opinion writer and blogger. Ruben Navarrete joined us from KPBS in San Diego. He writes for the San Diego Union Tribune and CNN.com. Arsalan Iftikhar is a contributing editor for Islamica magazine. He joined us from our studios in Washington. And Lester Spence is an assistant professor of political science at Johns Hopkins University. He joined us from his office in Baltimore, Maryland. You can find links to all of our Barbershop guests at our website, npr.org/tellmemore. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you.
Thank you. Yep.